ends up being a girl into. And yet the message of that song and the message that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so as we sing about God as our rock, that was then, it's now in the present, and as we look forward. And this morning is certainly a time of looking forward as well. I'm excited to be here with you. The last time I was with you, for those of you who were here on that Sunday morning, certainly a very significant time of transition in the church. And this is still a similar time of transition, but one that feels so much different, at least from my vantage point. Because at that point, we were knee-deep in a search and thinking, God, what are you up to? What are you doing? Who's next? Sort of thing. And obviously, who's next is all of us. This isn't about one person. Yet, God calls people into leadership and into different ministries and into different roles. And so this morning, I'm particularly excited to be with you because as a person who is called bishop, that's my title, one of the roles that I have is working with local congregations when they're in a pastoral search and when they're in transition. And so I was able to work with your board and with a few additional people, the pastoral search committee, and that group of people represented you all well and prayed with you all and sought God's direction and guidance. And I believe through that process has directed us together to whom the next pastor and the next pastoral couple of this church would be. And so it's exciting for me to be here this morning as a culmination of that process and obviously only the beginning, but to share in that joy with all of you. So if you were here last week, you already have heard from Jan. You've probably met Jan and Allison and their family. This morning, we are doing a more kind of official, called an installation, where we're officially asking them and you all some questions of commitment. But I always think it's helpful to get to know these people right off the bat as we're beginning this journey. And so we're going to get to know Jan and Allison a little bit today through a couple different means. So we're going to do a couple different things. We're going to begin with an interview of the two of them. Sorry, we aren't going to have open questions to the congregation. You know, no open mic time here. But you know, you can ask them afterwards if I've missed a few important details that you want to know about them. Then I'm going to ask them some questions of commitment. I'm going to ask one to all of you as the church as well. And then we're going to hear from Jan just a little bit at the end of the time. So I'd invite Jan and Allison to come on up, and I'm going to get some stools here from the back. Well, welcome to Jan and Allison. If you haven't met them, this is Jan, that's Allison. How about that, huh?
That's helpful. That's
yes.
Now, should we just say right off the bat that if they think they're seeing double around here this morning, there is a reason for that?
There is a reason for that.
This, we're going off script already, but I thought, you know, I saw some guy walk in this morning, and I go up all friendly to say hello to him, and he just kind of blows me off like he doesn't even know me, and I think...
He does that to a lot of people.
No, he doesn't know me. No, I'm just messing. Why would we be seeing double today except if you look at facial hair? That'll
I'm
help
such
you.
A great guy that early on they decided to clone me.
Oh, all right.
So I have a twin brother. He's sitting right there.
All right.
Turn hair.
So
he's got that goatee beard thing going on, so he's like the evil twin of the set.
So you're saying we got the right twin?
Yeah.
Okay, good. See, that's helpful to have that out of the way. No, so welcome to HBIC to you both. It's exciting to have you here this morning and last week, obviously, but this morning as we begin. So let's start off with some easy ones. Where were you both born and raised?
I was born in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, so just right down the road, and grew up there. We actually lived two houses up the street from Green Dragon Farmers Market, so I know probably many of you have been there. That was my childhood right there, but went to Ephrata High School and grew up in this area until we moved 4 years ago. So.
And I also was born in Ephrata and grew up just outside of Ephrata. I did not grow up next to Green Dragon.
She wishes she did.
Yeah, my experience was Amish farms, so not a whole lot of stuff.
Okay. So, in other words, I mean, this is a coming back home in many ways for the two of you. So tell us a bit about your family then, both personally and maybe beyond.
Well, I'm the husband and she's the wife. we mentioned last week a bit about how we met. We met in high school, obviously, and got married in 2002. 12. And we have a 8.5-month-old son, Alan, who is in the nursery terrorizing the volunteers this morning, I'm sure. And he is in the crawling, climbing mode, so there is no calmness in our house right now, as many of you know, being parents. So that's kind of our family. The one thing we wanted to share with you this morning, just to kind of give you a little insight into what makes us unique as a family, is Allison actually has a hearing disorder. It's called misophonia. Good luck trying to spell that and Googling it, because it's not so easy. But in layman's terms, as I've come to understand it, is it's kind of developed in her teenage years. Her brain processes sound differently than the rest of our brains. Not wrong, just different. So when I'm speaking, you're all listening, and someone's sitting next to you crinkling a mint or flipping through their Bible, your brain naturally is going to focus on my voice because that's what you're hopefully trying to pay attention to. But Allison's brain is actually going to bring in all those sounds at the same level. And so for her, it's very hard in certain settings to focus on a conversation or what's happening. So that's just something that we have kind of learned to adapt to and deal with. But, you know, if you ever notice, if she's kind of talking with you or in a group of people and she starts to seem distracted or ultra-focused on something, it's because she's trying to overcome some of the sounds that she's hearing or trying to overcome some focus and stuff. So that's just something that makes us unique and different, but something that we are, you know, working through together as a couple, and you know, God's been good through that process. So,
well, thanks for sharing that. I'm quite sure that's a challenge at times, especially in large groups. So, well, tell us one thing you. So you talked a little bit about how you met last time. Tell us something that you appreciate about each other.
I think from the moment I first met you, I've always noticed that she's been very compassionate. And she has a heart just where she wants to be with people and help people. Kind of when she sees a need, she always wants to step into it. So that's something that I've always kind of appreciated about her.
And what do I say about the good twin? Well, I would have to say that his ability to make me and many others smile is probably my favorite attribute about Jan.
Thank you. Thanks. So what do the two of you do for fun? Whether that's together, individually, whichever.
We were talking about this last night. I said, what do you mean fun? We've been working, she's been working on her PhD for 4 years. There is no fun.
And now you're about to pastor this church.
So. I know. Now I have no fun. No.
I've worked with some of the leaders of this church. Oh, sorry.
we had mentioned in our bio, we are big, or at least I am, I'm trying to convert her to be, we're big bargain hunters. I love to do yard sailing and consignment shopping and on a hunt for a good deal. Get that from my dad. And I also really enjoy, I see some of you pointing at other people, I'm making friends already. And I also have, in the past, I've really enjoyed paintballing and whitewater rafting and some water sports, although I don't do it very often and I'm no good at them, but I do enjoy them.
And I like to bake, specifically cupcakes. I also like reading, we both do, and paint-along classes.
Thank you. So, Jan, talk to us. What are you most passionate about in the church?
I think for both of us, one of the things that really gets us excited about the expression of the local church is seeing the community of believers. You know, Paul talks about the body of Christ and that unity that we have. And we really find, we really enjoy seeing Christians come together in a setting like this where it's not just we come in and we worship God and we leave, but there's that sense of community and fellowship and family. And so that's one of our biggest things when we look at the local church. We want to see fellow believers coming together and living life together in a passionate community and family.
So, Allison, if you could describe Jan's greatest strength as a pastor, or what you imagine it to be, what would you say? And then following that, Jan, Allison's greatest strength as a part of a congregation, as a part of a community of faith.
Well,
these are the questions that get me in trouble.
Yes. I think that the thing I like best about Jan as in a pastor role is his ability when he preaches to reach all levels of people, whether age levels or where they are in their walk with Christ. He is very good at bringing a message to everybody.
Now the pressure's on.
That's right.
Well, I think the biggest attribute that Allison brings to a congregation is her cupcakes. they're so good. but beyond that, in addition to that, she really just has always had a heart to step in when there's a need. So I know that as she and I have been in ministry together, every time I share with her, well, this is kind of, you know, a spot that we need to be filled, that she's always trying to figure out how she can help with it or contribute, especially when it comes to food. But she just really likes to step in when there's a specific need and give her best there.
Thanks. A few questions specifically about this congregation. So, Jan, why did you apply for the position? As you found out about it, why did you apply for this position at Hope Born in Christ?
Well, as I mentioned last week, we never fully believed that we'd be able to come back home to the Lancaster County area. And so as we were approaching your dissertation and all of the fun stuff that comes with that, we just really started praying and asking God, you know, where do you want us to go? What's this next season for us? And I had shared with him last week a bit that I was going to an all-day staff meeting again and got a text message from my mentor, Pastor Doug Bender, over at Crossroads BIC in Mountjoy, just saying, check out this ministry opportunity. And of course, that gave me a great distraction for a staff meeting. And as we just looked at the job description and the opportunity and prayed about it, we really just felt God saying, you know, take a step in faith. And so we agreed that I would apply and just kind of see what God did. And I actually fully expected every step of the interview process to end with, thanks, but no thanks. Every time you called me, it was like, here it comes. And but God just continued to affirm that this is where he wanted us. And as we got to know the interview committee and as they painted a picture of the church, it just connected more and more with our hearts and what we had always believed God would call us to. So it just kind of was a very great blending of everything we thought and the church thought. And so when we were offered the position and we prayed about it, and it was July 4th weekend, I remember, because it's like every couple hours God was affirming it in different ways, and we went, okay, we think we get the point. And so it was just kind of a great merging of our passions and our hearts with everything we were learning about the church.
So in terms of this church, what gets you most excited about the future? What are you most excited about for this church?
Breakfast this morning was a phenomenal start.
You can do that every week.
Food's a big part of it.
If you haven't gotten the idea that food is a theme in his life, maybe jot that down somewhere. Beyond that, anything else?
Beyond food, okay. I don't think. Well, the one thing that I've really just begun to notice already is that this church really seems to have a great potential to reach our community. You know, I think about ancient Israel, and it was positioned right between all the crossroads of the world. And I look at us, and with the church being right on Marietta and Route 30, and kind of really centrally located to some cross points here in Lancaster. And I just see that this church really can reach its community. You know, in the vision statement, we say that we are a light on a hill, and I really think that's a great illustration for what HBIC can be. Just based both on where we're located and our ability to reach the community through some of the sports programs we're already running and some other things that I see potential in the future, but also just as I've met some of the people here, just seeing their passion, and there's just this great sense of community and this great sense and desire to reach people for Christ, and I just really think that's something that moving forward is going to be a great asset for this church.
Thanks. As this church prays, how can they pray for you specifically and your family over these first weeks?
Well, I think we're still adjusting, just kind of getting settled in to the new house and kind of the commutes to work. Allison's down at University of Delaware, so she's got about an hour drive one way, and she loves driving. So that's just been an adjustment, also just kind of new research for her. But so we're kind of adjusting and getting to know people, and so I'd just be praying for us through that process. But overall, God has been so faithful in bringing us to this point. On a very contemporary note, Allison's dad was in the ER all night, and hopefully he's home by now, we're not sure, but he fell down the back deck steps last night and fractured his cheekbone and wrist and elbow and pretty much everything in between, it sounds like. So, and toe, he threw in a toe too. So it sounds like he's having a pretty, he was hoping to be here this morning, so just pray for him as well. His name is Dean, and he's probably in a lot of pain right now, so.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. So that just gives you a brief snapshot of the two of them, and obviously that's just an introductory snapshot to them, and they need to get to know all of you as well, but As we come to this time of commitment, may I ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask Jan some questions, and these are just some typical questions that we ask pastors as they're beginning. And then I'll have a question for Allison as well, and then one question for all of you as the congregation. So Jan, having been called to be the pastor of this congregation, do you commit to this church as your church home, these people as your people, and this community as your mission field, as the call of God for you at this time? If so, please answer, I do.
I do.
And Jan, do you commit to give yourself faithfully to the ministry of the word and prayer, to be a good shepherd to these people, to minister to the needs of all alike, to seek the salvation of souls and nurture the growth of all, and to put the service of Christ and his kingdom above all else? If so, please answer, I do, with God's help.
I do, with God's help.
And Jan, do you promise that if you are wronged, you will forgive as you expect to be forgiven, that you will seek always to keep yourself mentally alert and physically fit, and as much as it lies within you, to be at peace with all people and lead this congregation in the ways of Christ as the Holy Spirit gives you wisdom and power? If so, please answer again, I do, with God's help.
I do, with God's help.
And this question for you, Allison. Do you join in this commitment by declaring before God and this congregation your desire to follow Jesus and grow in his grace and love, to support your husband, to cooperate with him in this ministry, and in every way possible assist in the building of the kingdom of God in this pastorate? If so, please answer, I do.
I do.
And this is to all of you as the church here at HBIC. As I said before, the way this church will move forward is not through calling a new pastor here. It is through all of us together being on mission with Jesus. But so your support and your commitment to Jan, to Allison, and during this time is crucial as well. So to you as the congregation, having called Jan to be your minister, do you now commit to him your prayers, your sympathetic understanding, your faithful support, your forgiveness when he makes mistakes, and to follow his leadership as he follows Christ? If so, would you please respond, we do. Thank you. We're going to have a time of prayer for them, and I would just invite you as a sign of that support and that prayer, if you're able to stand at this point while we pray for them. God, I am grateful this morning to be here at HBIC. I am grateful that it is a light on the hill, that it has been for many, many years, and that looking out ahead, we see that it will continue to be. And God, we look to you because it is only us that is reflecting your light, and so we look to you, and we believe that you have great things in store, that you will reach into this community, that you will reach into our hearts, and that you will transform. God, thank you for calling Jan, for calling Allison, for Alan, for their family. Thank you for their willingness to follow in obedience, to be sensing your direction and take each next step as they've sensed it through this process. Thanks for the gifts and abilities you've given to them both. Thanks for this call on Jan's life. And thanks for the expression of it as pastor here at HBIC. And so I pray for them during these transition times, as they're transitioned personally, as their relationship will grow and change through this time, and as they get to know people here and people here get to know them. God, as you have in the past, would you be close to them and would you use them in significant ways? I do just want to pray for Dean now in the pain and the difficulty he's in. We do pray for his healing. And just pray for them as a larger family. Thank you that it is a coming back home. Yet, as we all know, as we grow older and times change, coming back home doesn't always feel like home in all the same ways. And so just help them and their family as they transition. And I pray for this church. We have trusted you throughout this time. We continue to trust you. And we believe that you are up to great things. So God, do great things here. Do great things throughout this city. And may we continually point to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. All right. You may be seated.
Yeah. So there's a lot of discussion this past couple days about what type of power tools you would use for installation. So I'm happy to find out this has been relatively painless. So kind of picking up where I left off last week a bit, I wanted to start this morning just for a few moments and look at Paul's words in Romans chapter 12, just the first two verses, and I'll read it to you. But Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Years ago in Bible college, we were asked to memorize many passages of Scripture in each and every class. And this passage, though, has always been one that stuck with me. And I've kind of adopted it as my life verse. As John was sharing this morning, his family's life verse for the last few months, this has kind of been my life verse. And this one really just stuck with me and really has challenged me over the years. And so this morning, kind of piggybacking on last week's message, but also just as an encouragement for you and as a reminder of myself, I thought I might share a few of my insights into these verses from Paul. And Paul starts off by saying, "Therefore, in view of God's mercy." And I think the reason, or one of the reasons that I've always seemed attached to these verses, is it answers a question I always find myself asking. Paul says, in view of God's mercies, in light of what God has done. And I always seem to be asking myself, what can I do? What should I do? How should I be living because of what Christ has done for me? Because of what God has done for me? See, when we understand where we were in our sin and where God has allowed us to be in our salvation through the blood of Christ, it draws us to the question, what can I do? What should I do? And so Paul starts off, he says, in view of God's mercies, he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Paul says, give God everything. You know, Paul doesn't say, because God gave you everything, you should go to church 1 hour a week. You should maybe try to pray once or twice throughout the week or read your Bible every now and then. He says, you should give God everything. Offer yourselves, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It brings about this idea that everything we should be giving him. Not just a few minutes or a few dollars each week, but everything that we are. Paul says, give God everything. He gave us his all, and so you should give him your all. The challenge is, and someone once told me this, the problem with a living sacrifice is it tends to climb off the altar. You know, in the Old Testament, when they would bring a sacrifice, they would put it on the altar, and there it would be. But when Paul talks about a living sacrifice, we tend to wander, we tend to move. And so there's a sense of, when I say to God, I'm going to give you my body, I'm going to give you everything that I am, we all know we tend to wander. And so the challenge with a living sacrifice is making a daily choice to give it to God. And I've had some interesting perspective on this in the last few weeks. As I mentioned earlier this morning, Alan is now 8.5 months old, and he loves to crawl, and he loves to climb. And this has become problematic in the bathtub. Bath time is now a two-parent job because one of us has to wash him while the other one is catching him because he climbs up and he falls down and he climbs up and he falls down. Because with the water sloshing and the toys and the porcelain, it's kind of dangerous. And so usually that task falls to me. And so bath time looks like up, okay, down, and down, and down, and down. And as I was thinking what Paul was saying, this idea of living sacrifice and this choice we have to make, I kind of wonder if God doesn't look at us like that sometimes, where we put ourselves on the altar and then we crawl away, and then we put ourselves on the altar and we crawl away, because our sin nature draws us away from God. And so that's our challenge, is we have to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, making this daily choice. Each and every morning when my feet hit the floor for the first time, how am I going to choose to live today? My feet hit the floor and say, God, today is your day. Every part of me, every breath I take, every word I speak, every thought in my head, God, it's for you. And so we have to choose to put ourselves on the altar. The problem is, even if we don't make that choice in the morning, because I don't know about you, when the alarm clock goes off, it's not like I pop out of bed and go, okay, it's morning. It's usually, oh, here we go. And so I may not pop out of bed, put my feet on the floor, and go, God, today is for you. But it's not like I put my feet on the floor and go, God, today's not your day. Like, yesterday was yours, today's not yours. None of us would make that choice. But the reality is, by not choosing to offer ourselves to God, we drift in the different direction. Paul says that we should not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. See, when I was a kid, we would go to the beach a lot. And mom and dad would say to us, all right, you can go out and play in the water, but you need to stay between this point and this point. And so we'd go out and we'd start splashing in the waves, and we would never say, oh, let's go down outside the safety zone. Well, you all know what would happen. We'd be playing, and after a while we'd look up and we'd be way over here. Did we consciously choose to come over? No, the current took us. And Paul talks about it, he says, don't be conformed to the world. What happens is if we don't make the daily choice and the daily focus to say, I'm going to stick to God's plan today, I'm going to live for God today, the world will make us drift. The current of the world will pull us away from God. And so just when we were at the beach, the trick we learned was we had to pick a spot, whether it was a building or an umbrella, and we had to constantly be looking at that spot. So we would drift, but we would just come back. And that's what God is for us. When I get up in the morning and say, God, today I give you my everything, we need to make God our focal point. And so as we go through the day, we constantly need to be looking for God and seeking out what he would want us to do. And that's how we resist conforming to the world. Paul says, don't be conformed, but be transformed. When we choose to daily offer ourselves to God, when we resist this conforming, we are instead transformed. By keeping God and the Holy Spirit as our focal point, by keeping Jesus forever in front of our eyes, it will change who we are. We will change into a more Christ-like individual. The Holy Spirit will lead us. The Holy Spirit will change us. It brings up this idea of kind of a butterfly. You know, the caterpillar starts off and he's crawling on the ground, and he goes through this process where eventually he becomes a butterfly. Butterfly never goes, I wish I would have stayed a caterpillar. You know, this flying thing is overrated. These beautiful wings are overrated. And when we stay connected to Christ, when we get up each morning and daily offer ourselves to God, the Holy Spirit's going to progressively change us. Progressive sanctification is the theological term here. This idea that we will be changed to be more like Christ. But it's a daily choice we have to make. When we get out of bed in the morning, when our feet hit the floor, what will we choose to do? Who will we choose to serve? Because no choice is a choice. Again, when we get out of bed and say, I'm just going to go into the day, I'm not really thinking about what I'm doing, the currents will pull us. But when I get out of bed and I say, God, today is your day. I'm offering myself as a living sacrifice today. And the reality is I may have to do that multiple times throughout the day. It's not enough to do it once in the morning sometimes. I have to do it every hour, every half an hour, sometimes every couple minutes. Because the current will pull me away. What will you do when your feet hit the floor tomorrow? And the challenge last week was to refocus and commit ourselves to God. And I'm kind of picking up on that again today and just simply saying, God, what are we doing when we wake up in the morning? You know, Sunday mornings are easy for some of us because it's church day. And so we come to church and our thoughts and our minds are on God. Our hearts are with God. But when I get up on a Monday morning and I head to the office, is my heart set on God? Is my mind focused on Christ? And so that's the challenge I want to leave you with this morning, is what will you do when your feet hit the floor? Will you offer yourselves a living sacrifice to God every day? And so I want to close by reading Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 again, but I'm going to read it out of the Message this time. And I'm not sure how you feel about the Message translation, but sometimes I just take a look at it because it's paraphrased, and so it kind of sounds funny to those of us who grew up in the church. But it also brings about a different perspective. And so I just want to read Eugene Peterson's translation of the Message just to kind of get us thinking a little bit more about these verses. Paul says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity within you. Would you join me in prayer this morning? God, if we're honest, many of us get up in the morning and we're groggy and we're tired and we need to grab the coffee pot. And our first thoughts are often not of you. But Lord, we understand that the world is not of you, and the world does not believe in you, and the world does not worship you. And so when we don't set our eyes on you, God, the world pulls us away. So Lord, I pray this morning, as we look to the week ahead, as we think about the things on our task list and the meetings we have ahead of us, God, help us to commit that everything we are, from our words to our deeds, even our thoughts, God, may they be for you, that they would be honoring to you, that they would be pleasing to you, and that as we focus on you, you would transform us to be more like Christ, that we would be salt and light, that we would be that light on a hill, and that you would use us to reach the world for Christ. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. Let's stand together. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one we see. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
Let's sing this out. We believe the greater things.
And greater things are yet to come. And greater things are still to be done in this city. And greater things are still to be done here.
And you're the God of the city. Let's sing it out.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation.
Yes, you are.
You are. You're the light of this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless.
Yes, you are.
You are.
Let's sing it out. There is no one.
There is no one like our God.
Yes, there is.
There is no one like our God.
And
greater things have yet to come. And greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city.
God.
And greater things
As we close this morning, I just thought I'd leave you with the words that Paul shared immediately preceding the verses I shared this morning. Paul says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgment and his path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." As you go this week, when your feet hit the floor, make the commitment to everything that you are, from your thoughts to your words to your actions, that everything that we are would be for God and for his glory. Amen. Have a great week.